Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and my voice sounds a little different during the program. It's because I'm at the tail end of pretty terrible flu that I got about 10 days ago and labored extensively to overcome this thing. And so you'll have to excuse any remnants of that in the course of the program. But, you know, this actually fits in the course of the theme. I've got lots to catch up with you on in the past 10 days since I've been with you. All right, back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Mac, let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for all of the ways that you love us and take care of us, the way that you provide. Lord, you're a good and loving provider for us. And I thank you, Lord, that as we seek your will and we open ourselves to do your will, that you take over, that you ask us to abandon ourselves to you. You ask us to entrust ourselves to you, and you will take care of everything. And I thank you for that. Lord God, I ask a blessing upon this program and upon all who listen. Lord, I ask for a fruitful summer season. Jesus, I ask you to bless all of my kids, each and all. May your protection be over them. May guardian angels, you be fully engaged in your mission and ministry in their regard, leading, providing, and protecting them. And Lord, just bless Carrie and me on our time away. Bless us in our time of discerning and planning and striving to know and to do your will, Lord. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, if you could tease out some of the themes of my prayer, you will understand what I'm going to be talking about on the program. So I mentioned that I've been sick, and I finally surrendered after about 5 or 6 days of going without getting it checked medically, to finally going and realizing that I needed antibiotics, and they actually worked, praise be to God, after just a few days. And the proverb, there's a proverb that says, in times of prosperity, you forget adversity, and in times of adversity, you forget prosperity. I think that being sick is one of those adversities that makes prosperity in health obscured. And it's something that, you know, I'm talking right now about in my specific regard, like physically, even to the fact that, like, I didn't take medicine yesterday, and that was for the first time in 10 days. And I did it not because I felt fully better, but because I wanted to see how I really felt apart from medications in my body. And I was coughing a bit, right? But it was as if the fog was lifting. Okay, and I'm going to hold on to that phrase. The fog was lifting. I say that because I believe that when we are sick in spirit, when there's a sickness in a spiritual sickness, of course, I mean the spiritual disease of sin. The spiritual disease of sin is going to leave us in a state of being foggy about things. And there's a way in which we don't always, I don't think we always connect let's call it the entanglements that are part of our lives, where When we sin, when I sin in my thinking, hateful thoughts, angry thoughts, lustful thoughts, when I sin in my speech, speaking harsh, critical, exaggerated, deceptive, partial speech that doesn't honor the one I'm in conversation with, when I am living in a way that is not honoring the Lord, when my actions, even if my actions are omissions, for instance, I'm not praying as much as I've been graced to pray or been invited by the Lord to pray, or he has made room for me to pray, and instead chosen to waste time on lesser things. And anything but God and nurturing that union with God in prayer is a lesser thing, right? All of those, I just give some examples, right, of thoughts, words, deeds, and omissions. And you fill in yours. I just gave examples, right? Those are going to have impacts. Those are going to have, and one of the traditional impacts of sin is that it clouds the intellect, that the intellect gets foggy, that the intellect doesn't see things clearly. And that can have a big impact on how we live our lives. Brothers and sisters, think about that. We are on this journey, right? God has put us here on this earth. We've been launched into this world. You are as far into your journey as the Lord has you being, right? So I'm 59. I'm going to turn 60 years old this year. How far are you into your journey? But the Lord has an endpoint, a destination, a goal for you, and that goal is heaven. And that goal is heaven, but that goal is also impacting on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, here, let me say that again. On earth as it is in heaven. And that means that even though your goal on earth is to make your way towards heaven, God's goal for you is that your journey towards heaven also becomes a manifestation of heaven on earth. Whoa, let me say that again. That you're journeying towards God. You're journeying in accord with God's Holy Spirit, that Spirit poured out upon you in on the church in Pentecost, on you in baptism and confirmation, and that grace is stirred in you and nurtured in you in prayer, that is going to remove blockages to your holiness. And that is going to make your own work on earth more fruitful for his kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. In your life on earth as it is in heaven, may your life manifest the kingdom of heaven today. And when we are foggy in our thoughts, we lose that vision. We can lose that vision of why are we here? And that's not the philosophical, why are we here on earth in this moment in time, right? Beyond the call to be a saint, fulfilling God-given mission, but the poetic, why are we here? But no, I mean the concrete, well, Lord, you have Carrie and me together in marriage 30 years. Why are we here? And okay, Lord, you have moved us. We met in DC, moved to Seattle, and then moved 4.5 years ago to Spokane. And it's like, Lord, why are we here? What are we doing here? How are we here and now living on earth as it is in heaven? How are we living here and now in a way that is advancing us on our journey towards heaven? When we sin, when we settle for sin, when we settle for less than anything but God and God's will for our lives, then God's provision for our lives diminishes, and our capacity to live that saintly, holy life and to fulfill that godly mission is impacted. We're cloudy. And so there are things that we need to remove from our lives that are making us sick. And even the treatments that we can be taking that we are attempting to utilize to get better can also leave us groggy and foggy. So many times in the past week, Carrie would look at me and I'd be sitting there kind of staring at her. And she's like, Tom, are you going to answer me? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, my mind is processing things just a little slower. And I'm just a bit groggy and I'm just a bit in a fog. And my mind flashed in all of this. So I'm going to make one little side road, then I'm going to get back on the main road, which is how do we live our lives in the one journey we have in a way that's clear of the fog, right? We want to be clear of the fog, clear of the spiritual sickness, clear of those things that are going to leave us foggy, because fog takes many forms. Fogginess isn't just like being slow processing like I was, but it can also be things like anxiety, worry, fear, feeling weighed down in ways that God is saying, no, I want to lift that burden from you. And I tell you that there are levels of anxiety, levels of fear, levels of worry that are traced back to a lack of trust, a desire to stay in control or to be independent and not have to surrender to God. And instead, the Lord is saying, trust me and trust yourself to me. Allow me to be your provident Father. I have a will for you. And that's that book, He Leadeth Me. And get the book. I continue to read it daily. In my sick days, I didn't read it every day. I was kind of really worn down, but almost every day, and still am. It's so powerful. But a couple of themes that bubble right up are, if you're not praying, none of this is going to make sense. He goes on several times in several chapters to say, you're not going to get the way God's providence is going to move in your life. You're not going to understand the way the circumstances and situations that you're facing are God's will for you today, and that God is at work in and through these things here, now, and today. You're not going to get it. You're going to be in a fog. You're going to be groggy. You're going to be spiritually sick, and you're going to start saying, God, why are you allowing this? Why aren't you doing something? And he's going to say, you need to pray more. You need to pray. You need to settle into God's presence. You need to seek out the Lord. You need to be reflecting. You need to be making acts of morning offering your life to God. And then you need to make a retreat. There's a whole chapter in here in his book, And He Leadeth Me, about the importance of a retreat, a getting away. You have to get away from the hustle and bustle of the day-to-day, the distracting, dispersing day-to-day, the diverting and the satisfying day-to-day, in order to make room for the Lord, in order to make room for quiet, peaceful prayer, and rich conversations. So, I share all of that with you as a kind of a warm up to what I'm going to talk about in the next section, which is Carrie and I are we are approaching our 30th anniversary. It's coming up, a couple months away, in August, and Carrie has been reminding me every now and again for the last year. You know, we haven't gone away for more than 2 days, and we've only done that a couple of times in the past 24 years since we started having kids. We just haven't left our kids behind. And so I'm talking to you from day number 4 of Carrie and me being away from our kids. We left Sunday morning, and we're getting back tomorrow late afternoon. And it was really, thank you, Carrie. Thanks be to God for Carrie saying, we really need this. We need to be able to get away and able to have like everything from the big picture conversations, the visioning for what's this all about? Where's all this headed? What's happening in our life right now? And what are the next stages that are coming up for our lives and our kids' lives? And then, oh, by the way, let's slowly, peacefully, carefully take a look at our budget. Let's take a look at our financial plan. Let's map things out for what is actually happening. Because can you relate to this? You get so busy that those bigger conversations, those, let's call it foundational conversations, get left for the margins and don't happen unless you retreat. He leadeth me. The importance of retreats and he leadeth me was when we stepped apart and we were able to meditate on the first principles and foundations of our spiritual life and our mission and our call, it was then that we received the strength we needed to go back into the harsh, rough, terribly difficult circumstances that they were living in. Now, that's not carrying my life, but we do live a busy, frenetic pace that's very distracting, very diverting, very dispersing. And so thank you, Carrie. So she took a map, drew a 5-hour circumference and said, where's the hottest, sunniest place we could go? And that's where we ended up. Where did we end up? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute. And the answer is Boise, Idaho. That's right. So when Carrie took her, put the center of the pin in Spokane Valley and said, okay, if we drive 5 hours in any direction, where do we end up? That's going to be sunny. It's going to be warm. It's going to be nice weather. Boise, Idaho was it. And so actually, it was a little more than 5 hours, about 6.5 hours. The drive itself was beautiful down through Ponderosa, through Coleman, and then from sort of southwest Idaho down into the city. What a lovely drive. What a beautiful, really incredible, the mountains and valleys. Just being out in God's creation. It was really something. Let's just say this. When the kids were waving bye to us on the Sunday morning, they were kind of happy we were leaving. We haven't done this in 22 years. And here we are, my 23-year-old and 20-year-old and 18-year-old and 17-year-old and 15-year-old. Yeah, they were not sad that we were going. Smiling and, oh yeah, we'll take care of everything. Don't you worry. No, good kids. And we've been checking in with them. But the idea of getting away, making a retreat to step away from ordinary activity in order to pay closer attention to the bigger things. This in some ways was about us trying to get rid of any fogginess. Let's get rid of any fogginess. And I don't just mean the idea of fogginess as spiritual cloudedness that is a result of sin. I also mean a pattern of life that has less room for reflection, silence, and peaceful conversation that doesn't have a very short deadline, because kids have to be driven here or there, or there's some other work to be done. And so it took some planning. It took some planning for us to be able to plan. Planning meaning that was part of one of the things that we were going to do. So Carrie found a spot for us to stay, and just sort of a humble little spot that I brought my whiteboards. So for me, whiteboards are a big deal. These whiteboards are not small. They're probably 3 feet across, 4 feet, 5 feet, something like that. Almost 3 feet by almost 5 feet. Whiteboards, and I have three of them. And it's one of the things that I learned. I'm sharing these ideas with you because I hope that there'll be insights. That I brought markers, different colors. And the idea was, in order to think clearly, in order to get a sense of vision for your life, you want to be able to get a sense of the whole. And to get a sense of the whole picture, it's sometimes difficult to get the whole picture in front of you all at once if you're writing something down on a piece of paper, or even worse, typing it in a notebook, typing it in a on a computer, or on your little notes on your phone. No, to be able to see a lot of different like themes and ideas, and then connecting them by colors and arrows and categories and things like that, it is so very helpful to be able to stand back and take a look at everything. And then when you bring up something, this, oh, let's bring up this one thing right here, we can then say, no, but wait a minute, let's make sure to connect that to this thing over here on this board and this thing over here on this other board. So my first recommendation, before I dive more fully into what I'm going into right now, is the idea that it's important to get away. It's important to step apart. And that's at least one of the meanings. One of the meanings. It's not the most important meaning and the primary meaning of the Sabbath. It's stepping apart from other activities in order to become more centered, to become more focused, to become refreshed, in order to be able to go back into those other days well. My spiritual director who brought this idea to me, that's again, that famous Father Mark Noonan, he was saying that it's important every 7 days to give your mind a Sabbath. He was specifically talking to me about when I was doing my dissertation, and it was my job day to day to research and write and research and take notes and organize and do some more writing and more researching and more editing. And he said, you will be more productive if you take a 24-hour period where you are not giving any time, attention, or energy to the dissertation than if you attempted to give all 7 days to it, just kept plowing on through. You'll get more done if you give yourself that one day off. So that idea of a Sabbath, a time of rest, is very important. Okay, so Carrie and I were coming away for these days away. It wasn't simply to say, oh, we just need some time together, but it's that too. It was, yes, Carrie, you and I need some time apart to be able to just enjoy life without the daily stresses and pressures and commitments that we have, schedule and things like that. So with that said, not everything that is part of my life just was removed. So even in the course of these days, Sunday through Thursday, I'm, for instance, doing this radio program. And it's nice for me to be able to do this program because in some ways I'm sharing with you live in the midst of the experience, the power and importance of being on retreat, and sharing with you some of the practices, the ways that we're spending our time that are actually bearing fruit. And I've got a couple kind of neat stories of the way that God is, shining his face upon us in ways that we hadn't anticipated. So, but the prime, excuse me, sorry about that. Again, I'm at the end of this lingering cold, which I mentioned at the beginning of the program. And so I still might have a little bit of that in my voice. So please bear with me and say a prayer. Just say a prayer that flu that just knocked me down will just stay away. Okay, so the principal things that we intended to do, some of them were connected to our current reality, and some of them were connected to our present situation, and some of them are connected to the things that are happening in the horizon that's in front of us. And then there's the bigger picture. Well, what's happening down the road in the next 3 to 10 years? When if we cast out about 10 or 15 years, I'm looking at retirement, probably in less than 15 years, and Carrie in probably in about 15 years. And it's like, well, what do we want to do in the time that remains, in this time of fruitful living, where there's hopefully some mature expertises, hopefully there's some So solidity to the foundation of our lives. There's some gifts that have been developed. And that's like, well, Lord, what would you have us do? What would you have us do in the time that remains? So that was the bigger picture vision aspect of things. And the ones that were closer were the need that we have, that Kerry always appreciated more than I, for a budget. What's our budget? And it's not that I didn't care about a budget from the standpoint of I'm just going to spend money. It's almost the opposite. I just don't really spend a lot of money. And so my job was, let me just go make more than enough money to take care of our expenses. Then that kind of takes care of itself. Well, we've already had it revealed in some very powerful ways when we spent probably more than 8 hours going through all of the expenses that are part of our life. And it's not just expenses, but it's getting a picture of our sort of financial health and how are we spending money and what can we anticipate in terms of bringing in money, revenue, income, and where can we cut back on expenses? Well, we had started in on this about a year ago, and Kerry was able to, by the end of the day, have a snapshot of some of the ways that we had improved in terms of cutting back on expenses and saving money. And, you know, you've heard us talk a bit about things like a very important way to save money these days is just go out less. It's so expensive to eat out, to be able to just eat in. Saves so much money. And I feel badly saying that for restaurant owners, and a lot of our economy is connected to the entertainment industry, but it's so expensive for people that are on a budget. We're on a budget. Then to be able to save money in terms of, you know, where do you shop and what food do you get and all of that. So that was the first one. But another one that was a bit surprising to me were the number of subscriptions that we had signed up for. We, you know, me or Kerry or one of the kiddos, and we weren't like taking advantage of them, but they were one of those sign up here and we'll quietly charge your credit card every month, or even the bigger one once a year. So they come back around, they sneak on your card, and then boom, they get you again. And so being able to pay attention to that, it was like, wow, we were able to recover quite a bit of our own sort of financial strength by saying, let's just spend less. So, and then there's just a matter of sort of planning financially for the future in terms of the expenses that we have associated with our kids. So I share this with you that, you know, this was all sort of like mostly theoretical in our minds. If we went back, say, 10 years. So if we go back 10 years or 11 years, our oldest would have been in eighth grade. And so we, you know, college was just sort of in the way in the future and hard to imagine. Okay, well, how much would it actually cost to have a kid in college, two kids in college, three kids in college, four kids in college, five kids in college? Six kids in college this past year. Yeah. This was the most expensive year of our lives. And that was pretty striking. Six kids in college, and then we have three kids at these classical schools. So education was a really big part of our budget. And so again, it's just a matter of saying, all right, wow. How long can this be sustained by us, right? How do we sustain this next year and the year after and the year after as kids are going to continue to be in college and then as kids finish college? Oh, but wait a minute, then we've got kids coming up behind them that are also going to be in college, likely, right? If that's their path. So there was a lot for us to really wrap our minds around and then say, what are we doing to just plan for that aspect of things to say, how much support can we provide for them and how much financial support are they going to have to do on their own? Those are big questions. Those are really big deal questions. Then on top of that, it was taking a look at everything from, have you reviewed your homeowner's insurance, auto insurance, your health insurance, your medical insurance, right? So all of those details, there are ways to optimize or to save money on those things as well, if you know how to sort of navigate your own sort of risk tolerance and what you actually need versus what they just presented to you, right? All of those sorts of things. So, all right, I'll just say that was less important to me, but it was more important to Kerry. And so therefore it had to be important to me as well. And when we were able to get to the bottom line and reach some sort of milestones on, okay, having taken a look at the last 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, the last year, and our present year, right, year to date, what have been our earning and our spending patterns? What have been our expenses? And what can we now anticipate for the future? Having that, having clarity around that is what Kerry was wanting. And so I'm so glad that we had the time to do that. Again, we gave really almost all of Tuesday to just doing that, just to map that out. On Monday we had, and Sunday we had more of the kind of conversations that I found I find more life in, which is the more visionary ones. And so I want to talk about that. I want to say that one of the first surprises that God gave to me, God provided for us, was on the way down, where Kerry was saying, well, let's use the time on the way down fruitfully. So why don't we listen to a podcast that will help sort of prime the pump for how we want to think about how to use this time that we have together? And I had to take sort of the humility pill. I had to swallow the humility pill and say, okay, I got to be open to learn, because this is something that I've done for 25 years or 30 years, longer than that, with churches and with parishes and with my own teams and groups and my own ministry and all kinds of other organizations, and doing like strategic planning and visioning and getting clear about your current reality and understanding your strengths and your weaknesses and your opportunities and your threats. And I I'm very comfortable in these processes, but I was blown away by the podcast that Kerry picked, even though I had to overcome my arrogance when we got started. What was it? I'll tell you in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. So I want to talk about the podcast that we listened to. It was a podcast on hacks, like how do you hack this or hack that, finding shortcuts. And this particular podcast was on hacking personal growth and development. Just personal growth and development, but hacking growth and development as a general concept. And the person he was interviewing was Dr. Benjamin Hardy, co-authored a book with a fellow named Dan Sullivan called 10X is Easier Than 2X. And it's, 2X is what? This is if you double your return, right? If you double your return on an investment, it's called 2X. 10X is 10 times return on your investment. And the premise of this book is that you will actually become more successful. You will grow more, more abundantly. You'll grow in a bigger way if you don't try to set a goal that you would think is like enormous, like let's just improve by 10% or 20% or 50%. And holy cow, all right, let's really stretch and see if we can double. He's saying, or there, these authors are saying, no, you actually will create a path to a much bigger future for yourselves if you can come up with a vision that is 10 times, 10x where you currently are. And that was one of the themes in the book, and in this book and in the podcast. And the other one was about envisioning a future self that is in a more ideal state than the present self. So he takes that concept of, imagine if your future self, this is another book. This book was written by that same guy, the guy that is being interviewed in this podcast is Benjamin Hardy. How the future self is imagining a bigger future self is the bigger way to improve your present self. So let your future image of who you are going to become shape how you live right now. Okay, so in some ways, both of these things are connected to the concept of strategic planning and casting a vision, but he, in particular, this guest, was focused quite a bit on the psychology of it, how your brain operates. And one of his premises, and I'm bringing up this with some kind of like slow kind of, not with perfect clarity, is that I struggled to get exactly what he was saying because he wasn't exactly clear on the one hand. And on the other hand, I had to take this humility pill because I didn't agree with him at the beginning. I'm like, okay, this is kind of hokey and it doesn't sound true to my Catholic understanding of who we are as human beings. You know, as who we are as human beings, our future self is in that sense of the journey towards heaven, right? That we talk about, that the future self is going to be the one who's more fully a saint living God's given mission for my life. So that's how I would envision my future self. Well, if I finally surrendered, Carrie just said, are you going to critique everything here? I said, no, let me just kind of take it all in and see what I can get from it. That would be a benefit, a blessing for our time together. And amazingly and surprisingly and happily, this podcast ended up generating a number of ways of thinking about what we were going to be doing here in our time together that I hadn't anticipated at all. I hadn't planned, and it wasn't on my roadmap and the things that I had done with when I had helped people in terms of this sort of strategic planning approach, right? Casting a vision. And a couple of the keys, and I just want to share these keys with you, is that he brought up the way that when you envision the future, you're often too constrained by your present condition, your present situation. And your present situation is often so constrained and bound up by the things that have happened to you in the past. So he proposes you relate differently to your past and you relate differently to your future. When it comes to your future, you give yourself the freedom to break away the constraints that might hold back what you would ever imagine as possible for your future self. So just for instance, so it would be in my present life, I'm spending my time doing this radio program and some other ministry work. I spend the majority of my time doing real estate, helping families, often in ministry settings, to discern and to take action when it comes to buying or selling a home for the sake of helping their family flourish. And I also will help folks that are, let's call them sort of luxury real estate, helping them to strategically make decisions about how to best buy or sell this very valuable asset in their portfolio. So that's how I'm spending my time right now. And, you know, it's very rich and enriching and all that. But when I cast out a future and I said, what if I didn't have to make money? All that stuff that we did, what if I didn't have to be constrained by a budget. And what if I just said, what if I took the gifts that and the desires in the depths of my heart that I believe have come from God, that I really want to do with my life? What if I were to say, okay, I'm going to strip away the constraints and I'm going to imagine that 10x future, right? Not just the 2x future, but the 10x future. And this became kind of a joke way that Carrie and I were talking to each other for a couple of days. It was, okay, that's not your 10x self talking. That's not your future self talking right now. And so the idea is that if you can start, if you can get a picture of what that future would be like, if it wasn't constrained by, just as a for instance for me, the burden of provision, providing, what would I be doing? And the most fascinating thing was, well, I'd be writing books. I'd be giving more talks. I'd be doing retreats. I would be doing online ministry. I'd be praying the rosary with people live. I would be doing live streaming and in a way that could reach people, right? These are things that are really not a very big part of my life right now. And I find it very difficult to imagine how I can fit them in my life right now. And if I think about how do I incorporate those things, there are these sort of slow, incremental, okay, well, I've got to take this next step forward where I'm going to do this a little bit less and maybe do this a little bit less and make a little bit more room here. And then I can take on a little bit of that. And this whole sort of life planning process, this life envisioning process of this 10X and this future self is more about, no. Try to really paint that picture as clearly as you can of what your future state is going to be, that future condition. And then you know what's going to happen? It will begin to like reveal to you the path to take that you never would have seen had you begun from your current reality. If you begin from your present situation, you'll never find a way to get to that goal. But if you begin at that goal will then begin to reveal the way that it will provide for you to get to where it is you've just envisioned. Okay, does that make sense? Believe it or not, he didn't have the language for it, but there are a lot of overlaps between what he was trying to describe through the concept of psychology with the traditional understanding of growth and holiness as a proleptic activity. Did you hear that phrase? Prolepsis? Prolepsis has to do with this unveiling of what is hidden, but is present in a hidden state. And so instead of saying, I'm going to become that future person that I'm not, and by gradually growing and changing and shifting, and I'll eventually get there, I'm going to gradually become who I'm not, that person that I want to be in the future. Growth and holiness in our tradition is about ablatio. It's about removing what is hiding the authentic and more profound truth, essence, identity of who I really am, but it's hidden under the cover of all of that other stuff that make up my present life. Does that make any sense? I hope and pray it does. I hope and pray that it can ponder that, think about that, that we oftentimes can be constrained by our own, the weight of the present moment, the weightiness of the burdens of the present moment, and it can limit the vision of what God wants to do and how God wants to provide for your life. Now, I'm going to give you an example that you might find pretty cool in just a minute of how God revealed something like this. Hey, welcome back to the program. So here's what I'm sharing with you. I'm saying I started the program talking about how God's providence, right? You seek God's presence in prayer. You give space for God's providence to manifest himself to you and pour into your life day to day as you abandon yourself to his will that shows up in the daily circumstances of your life. one of the things that will help you to be able to nurture that sense of prayer and personal presence is going off on a retreat. Carrie and I, after 22 years, we've come away for 4 days, and it's not only just to be together, but it's also in retreating to be able to get clarity about our current reality, right? And that was principally around our finances, but also about our own personal health, not just financial health. And then what's happening in our kids' lives as well. And then the future vision. So I've only just touched a bit upon this idea of allowing a visioning of a future situation to be something that is going to break the bonds of what you think you're constrained by in the present moment, and how somehow you've got to make it happen. Instead of saying, no, let's put it out there. Let's just really see if God's going to bless this. And God's the one at work and allowing a vision to happen that goes beyond what we would have thought for ourselves. And so literally have a whiteboard out, and we're looking at a building, a small commercial building that I have, and I bought when I was doing cryptocurrency mining. I don't know if you remember that, something that I did a few years ago in relationship to COVID and investment and this sort of thing. And so we were looking at this on the board, and it was like a burden. And I was like, okay, how are we going to sell this? And so it's been a bit of a source of exasperation and a challenge. And it's like, how are we going to, how do I find a buyer and all of these sorts of things, right? So it comes back up, and Carrie looks and says, how are we going to sell this? And I got a text, a notification that there was a text. And I looked at it and I smiled. And I just had to say, Carrie, look at this. And I read it. And it's a couple that had looked at the building on Friday before we left. And they said, hey, we're really interested in this, and we're taking some next steps to pursue the potential purchase of this building. And that's one of those things where, you can't, how do you plan for that? Well, you don't. It's amazing how God opened that up to be able to happen. And it was like, look what I can do. Look, you strive to discern and follow my call for your life, and I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you through doorways that you can't even see yet. And in a timing that is perfect in my plan, but not known to you, and you have to trust me. And that's what's happening here. That's what's happening as we're out and about. We're here in Boise. Carrie chose it because of the sun, but we've had some beautiful meetings with people. A couple of the most poignant, one of them was a couple of days ago. Carrie and I went out to dinner, and we had dinner with we have a daughter that's adopted, and we went to dinner with her birth mom and her husband and her daughter, as well as her parents. And we hadn't seen them, and I've only been with them, I don't know, three times in my, this was but the third time in my life I'd been with them. And it was a really beautiful time to get together. Carrie hadn't seen our daughter's birth mother since she's been born. And so that's a couple of decades. And it was a really beautiful time to be together and to share stories and to talk. And this also coincided with the reality that this daughter of ours is actually going to be moving to Boise next month. And so it was a wonderful chance for us to rekindle the connection and talk a bit about that and what that might mean for our daughter to be able to connect in a richer way with her birth mother and her half sister, and to draw on that dimension of family as a support for her. That was really powerful. And then since then, this morning at breakfast and yesterday at dinner, there's a family. I just helped them move here. I helped them to sell a house up in the valley, and then helped them find and buy a house down here from up there. I was able to help them down here. And so he was wanting to introduce me to a couple of people. And so I met with this headmaster of a classical Christian school, and he had so much insight into how to form culture and how to like foster growth in a classical faith-based high school, which I was just like, wow, I need to connect you to the Chesterton Academy and to Court of Christ and to the Oaks. And you've got a ton of wisdom that would be hugely beneficial. And I learned a ton. It was just a wonderful conversation that I hadn't anticipated, hadn't planned on. And later today, at an early morning breakfast with someone that I had on as a guest, I had met him at the men's conference in Olympia, and he lives here. And it was like, hey, let's get together and let's talk about what's God doing. And, you know, what's your sense of things of the state of the church? Again, a wonderfully providential conversation. And then later in the day, I'm making connections with some real estate agents down here. So just a lot of beautiful ways that God is using the time that we had only because Carrie chose this, and she chose it because it was sunny. And yet, who knew all the other surprises that would come from our visit? So I can just say I'm beautifully and wonderfully surprised at the God the Father's shocking generosity and how he takes care of us in ways that we don't always know about and anticipate. But if we can learn to trust that abandonment to divine providence and strive to do his will day to day, we stay firmly rooted in prayer. We seek to stay in his presence and practice that presence of God in all the details of our life. He'll be glorified. We will be walking that journey where we're striving to live well now as we're on our way to heaven, even as heaven breaks into earth through our own striving to live well now. And so all of that to say that there are more stories to tell, there are more anecdotes and things like that, but conversations that Carrie and I have and will continue to have today and tomorrow about what about our kids, each of them, taking time to focus on each of them and what do they need right now and where are they headed and how do we help them be able to get launched into the next step of their life, of what God has for them. And so that's the next part of our time together in terms of our life planning. Is it's not just about two of us and where do we want to be to sort of like level up and live in a more ideal way the life that God has for us. But as we live that out as parents, and our kids are now at that stage where they're discerning marriage, and that means, you know, where's the husband for the first four, right? Okay, so what does that mean for them? And then for my boys that are just now going to be sophomores in college, okay, what's that all going to be, and how are they going to be discerning and then being able to provide for their family if they're called to be married? And then for the younger kids, right? So how do we continue to form them and not miss out on the things that we realized we missed with maybe some of the earlier kids when we were very young and naive? Okay, now that we've learned more, let's make sure that we get the foundations right. Just as a for instance, the tender years, the kids' hearts are still open to hear about Jesus in a personal way. And the fundamental importance of fostering in these kids a personal prayer time, a relationship with Jesus, a reading of the scripture, a love of the Eucharist, a regular attendance at confession, going to Mass in a reverent way, praying the rosary, right? Those foundational things. And then learning to love each other and have space for each other in the home. And one last thing is that us being away, we just have learned more and more, or just have had confirmed more deeply and profoundly, the importance of older siblings discipling and evangelizing and witnessing and providing a model to younger siblings. That is such an important role that they have in life. And so it's something that we're just pondering as well. So there you go. A little bit of kind of mapping out. I felt like I just put three whiteboards of material out in front of you, but hopefully you get a sense of the whole. More importantly, I hope that you'll take some of this and bring it to bear in your own life in terms of figuring out what does God have for you. God bless your day.